is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely gorgeous co-host.
It's me.
It's Miss On a Bike.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right, bud.
I'm all right. You?
Yeah, I'm okay. What have you been up to?
Been to Glasgow.
Been to Glasgow, have you?
Mm.
Yeah.
They say aye.
They do. Aye. Did you manage to converse with anyone? Did Stephen go native?
He did go. He didn't go too rogue, but he did go native. He did. He was like, yeah. He still stayed a bit posh.
Cool. So, did you have fun?
Yeah. It's going up there to see a child that was at university. So it's different, isn't it? It's not like you're going away. And,
oh, right. Okay.
What I was going to say, though, was we went up on Virgin.
Was it Glasgow University or St Andrews?
Strathclyde.
Strathclyde. Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So what was I going to say?
Sorry, I interrupted.
That's all right. Went on the Virgin train.
Did you?
Fast one.
Is it the first time I've been?
Sorry.
Ooh.
The Virgin
have
train.
Oh,
see, you didn't see what I did there. I'm too quick for you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know. Oh, sorry.
I tell you what, it rocks and rolls. Well, it's fast. Yeah. It gets you there. There's no hassle. You don't have to get up to Gatwick to get on a plane.
Where'd you go from? Houston.
From Folkestone West.
From Folkestone, direct. Didn't you get wet?
Yeah. Folkestone, straight to St Pancras. Walk to Euston, straight up to Glasgow Central.
Yep.
Wow. Go figure in 6 hours.
Wow, that's good.
You can't do it. Yeah. You can't even do that on a plane, can you?
No,
anyway.
Well, it used to take me 6.5 hours to drive to Durham.
Oh, I know. Mm. But I have to say the train is a bit rocking and rolling sideways. Jeez. And it really makes you feel sick. And I don't get sick.
Right.
I don't get seasick or anything.
You got seasick on the train?
You get seasick on the train.
Wow, okay.
Who knew?
Yeah.
There I was thinking I'd have 6 hours of non-stop writing. I couldn't even look.
Oh, dear.
I know.
Oh, dear.
I know. Anyway,
see, if you'd have gone on a plane, you could have finished your book.
Exactly. So I blame Stephen.
Yeah. So did you have
it? And Richard Branson.
Yeah, well, it's obviously
he's not got much to do with them now, though, is he?
No.
What?
So how long were you there for?
Oh, just a quickie Saturday, Sunday back.
All right, okay.
Back yesterday.
Was it good? Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
What did you think? You've been to Glasgow before, yeah?
Briefly as a child. We had beautiful blue skies.
Yeah, yeah.
In Scotland. Who knew?
We're going to be talking to Graham later in the show about regeneration of places. Glasgow's one of those places.
They boomed it.
Yeah. Many years ago, they were one of the first European cities of culture.
Yes.
And for that, they kind of regenerated all the Clyde Dock areas and everything. And they've not looked back since.
Funny you should say that. They've got this great thing called Glasgow. No, Glasglow. So, do you see what they've done there?
Yeah.
They've done a night show in the Botanical Gardens. They've put on this. So they've got over 60,000 visitors going in paying £20 each.
Wow.
To see a light show all through the gardens, and they take you through an experience.
Right.
It is amazing.
Wow.
We could do that here. It is great. And they've got it for Halloween. They've then got it as Elfland. They've then got some different seasons will bring a different glow.
Wow.
It's really beautiful.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I thought it's a great idea.
Yeah, fantastic.
I don't know what you would call it if it was Ashford. An Ashford.
Yeah. That could be interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It hasn't got the Glasglow, has it?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't really scale it anywhere else, can you?
No, that's true. I was trying to think, but...
This is the thing.
Ash is the other end of the spectrum, really, isn't it? It's when it's died down.
Yeah. So, anybody, let us know on Twitter.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right.
What have you been up to?
Oh, this and that, you know.
No.
What? Just working.
Doing what? Come on.
Well, you know, the normal stuff that I do, that try to keep bread on the table.
Okay,
and...
I rang you last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And you were at the job fair.
I was, yeah.
How did it go?
It went very well, thank you. Yes, we had a careers fair at the Grand in Folkestone. And we did that in conjunction with the Romney Resource Centre and the Department of Work and Pensions, Job Centre Plus. And very good it was too. We had a very good day there.
What gives it a good, when you say, it went very well, what are you looking forward that would measure it to that level?
Well, the interesting thing is you get different returns depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, the last one we did was at the Pentagon Centre in Chatham, and that was RAND. We just got hundreds and hundreds of people. This one in Folkestone, we didn't get hundreds of people, but the people you got were high quality.
Yeah.
So, for instance, this is a fact, that one of the businesses exhibiting there met someone in the morning who started work in the afternoon.
No.
Yes. So, you know, it was a quality rather
one
than a quantity.
One could question due diligence on that.
Yeah.
Couldn't they?
In what way?
In that you've got somebody in the morning and then you employ him. What was the job? Can you give it away?
I've no idea. I don't know. They didn't tell me.
Oh. Was it sales? Was it?
No. I imagine that they got it was a temp job doing something.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, picking or packing or something. Yeah. I don't know. They didn't say. But, so you get different issues depending on where you are and different patterns of behaviour and usage, basically. Yeah. But everybody seemed to enjoy it and it seemed to go well.
Well, funny enough, Tracy, let us know how it goes, because Tracy Ferguson's just messaged in on Twitter saying she's listening in for the first half of the show today.
Okay, I think she did tweet earlier about it
as well.
She
did, yeah. She's off to Chatham for a mentoring meeting later on with young people.
Okay, because Tracy organised the event. She organises all the events for us, which is brilliant.
Yeah,
that's the last one of this year.
Is it?
Yeah, and then we're going to think about what we do next year. One of the things that, and we're going to talk to Joanne about this in the second half of the show, one of the things that's concerning me about the jobs market is that there's lots of perception barriers to different types of work, and it's one of the things I want to overcome. I want to try and do things for specific sectors, so you know, like construction or hospitality or healthcare or technical and digital, but it's how you stage those. It's much more difficult to stage in a central place. Whereas geographic job fairs are easy, because you just rock up in a town and go, we're here. If you want a job in Folkestone, Dover, Deal, Hive, or wherever you are, then people will come along. If you go, we've got jobs in hospitality, then, you know, how do you get the people to come along to understand? And it's not just about having the jobs. What we're trying to do is to tell people why it's a good career, what the career options are in those kind of roles. So that's our task for next year.
Interesting, because it, you're making it sound as if we choose what we end up doing.
No,
and
don't.
Most of the time we just fall into it.
Yeah. I've always said that. I've heard lots of people tell, especially young people, that they should do a job they love, and I go, leave it out. Yeah, you don't get paid to do things you love, not normally. Yeah, what normally happens in my experience is you end up doing a job and you fall in love with it when you find out how to do it, and you build a career out of it, and then you become you start to love what you do because you've kind of grown up with it. If you see what I mean?
Yeah.
If you see so many people wandering around going, well, I don't know what I want to do. And you get analysis paralysis. They just don't do anything because they haven't found anything that they love to do. And when you say, what do you love doing? They go, oh, I don't know. Yeah, which is understandable. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's what I did last week.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. We want to hear from you, though. I don't want to talk about all this all
the
way through.
We're hearing from them.
Are they coming
There's
in
a lot
already?
Going on.
Cool. Well, you can get in touch with us in all the usual ways. You could, in fact, call me if you wanted to on 01233 220035. That's Ashford. 01233 220035. You can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. We've had a few trillion tweets already, haven't we?
We have, and Ethelbray are going mad.
Are they?
Yeah, have you seen the GIF?
The voted one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got a vote going on.
They have. What do you think about this?
Well, I voted already. I voted Jaffa Cakes, me.
I can't bear them. I can't bear Jaffa Cakes.
Did you not?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I don't.
Because they're not officially a biscuit.
No, I don't even get into that discussion. Or a mince pie. Mince pies, you've got to have a clot of cream in them, haven't you?
Do you want to read out what the tweet says?
I will. It says Ethelbray. It says Ethelbray Limited. Vanilla Web, Bird and a Bike, Business Bunker. Can we have a shout out, please, for our reverse advent calendar vote for this year's Christmas food store boxes? No corporate cards, please, Christmas cards. But every day instead, we add something to the box for the food bank. Here's the funniest bit. Yeah. What's your vote, Eric and Ernie?
Well, I'm donating her short fat hairy legs. That's what I'm doing.
Aww. Have we decided who's who yet?
Yeah, well, you're Ernie, aren't you?
No, I want to be Eric.
I know, but...
I want to be the funny
but
one.
But I'm the one with the glasses and you're the one with the short legs.
Oh, it's so unfair. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I've yet to vote.
And
what am I voting?
Well, the options are Jaffa Cakes.
Yep. No.
No?
No.
After Eight Mints.
Oh, yeah.
Or mince pies. Oh, no, matchmakers. Not After Eight Mints, matchmakers.
What flavour matchmakers?
Mint.
Then yes.
Yeah. Is that yours? Yeah. Is that your vote?
Yeah.
Minch matchmakers.
Yeah. And that's not easy to say, is it?
Well, minch matchmakers. Minch. No, it's not. You're right.
Mince matchmakers. Yeah. Cool. Or a mince pie, but if you had a mince pie, it'd have to have clotted cream. And then you have to, like, take the middle out and put the clotted cream in and then put the lid back on.
Is this a pirate thing?
I don't know, but... Do you know what? I've actually put that in my book now. Can I just say, I've had to write some of the stuff at the front, and I was writing it the other day, and I actually put it in. I'm like thinking, if only he knew that what he's made me do in this book.
What, you've admitted to being a pirate?
I said, who knew that I would be soon to be called a pirate or something, that this pathway would lead me to be named as a pirate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone from your neck of the woods is a pirate, isn't it? Yeah, it's Plymouth. That's
everybody
what it's all
from
about.
Your neck of the woods is like Cockney.
Yeah.
So everybody, when I first moved up here, Kent was like, oh, everybody's Londoner.
Yeah.
Which obviously Kentish people hate. I know. I'm very sorry, Graham.
But I am a Londoner, so yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's not bad for you.
It's all right. I can be both. I can choose.
Right.
Yeah. We had a tweet from Romney Resource Centre. And I say a massive thank you to everyone who was part of the careers fair. It couldn't have gone any better. Another massive thank you to Jobs in Kent and to Tracy Ferguson for bringing all of those wonderful people together. You are all amazing. There you go.
I've got a press release.
Go for it.
I do like the press release. A press release. Dover Hotel Restaurant wins UK-wide recognition. Black and White Hospitality hosted their annual awards night for the Marco Pierre White Restaurants. There were 8 award categories, and Mr. White's English Chop House and Wheeler's Fish and Chips at the Best Western, plus Dover Marina Hotel and Spa, featured in 4 of them despite only being open for 1 year. The hotel was awarded Most Improved Restaurant in 2018 and winner 2019, Training Recognition Award finalist 2019, Team Member of the Year Carla Reid finalist 2019, and Restaurant of the Year finalist 2019. The General Manager, and forgive me, Suresh, if I've pronounced this wrong, Suresh Abbas, was particularly pleased to see a Dover resident, Carla Reid, to be the finalist in the Team Member of the Year award. Carla started work at the restaurant when she was still at school 8 years ago and has been gaining recognition from our customers in recent years for exceptional service. Do you know what? I love a story like that. It's like, that is what you want to hear, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Mr. White's English Chop House and Wheeler's Fish and Chips are open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. And that's from Trevor Bond, who's a sales and marketing manager.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Trevor. I love to hear a story like that.
Nice one. I've been sent this. It's the Live to Lead Kent, a personal growth and leadership development experience designed to equip you with new perspectives, practical tools and key takeaways, which you can begin to implement immediately to see change. You will learn from world-class leadership experts and leave equipped and prepared to implement new action plans in your sphere of influence and to lead with renewed passion and commitment. The speakers at this event are John C. Maxwell, New York Times best-selling author, Angela Arendts, former CEO of Burberry and former Senior Vice President of Apple Retail, Chris Hogan, financial coach, Rachel Hollis, New York Times best-selling author of Girls, Wash Your Face.
She's brilliant.
Is she?
She's got about 6 books out now.
Okay.
She's very interesting, Rachel Hollis.
And Marcus Buckingham, global researcher and thought leader, best-selling author of First Break All the Rules, and then other books. So it's taking place on Thursday the 14th of November. It's at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel. That's at the top of Bluebell Hill, just outside Chatham. It's from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The tickets are only £40. Or if you get in quickly now, you can get the early bird at £30. Or you can have a table of 8 for £240.
They've actually got Rachel Hollis at Bridgewood Manor.
Yeah. You going?
I will now.
You need
I'm serious. She's a massive.
You need to wash your face before you go. See what I did
she's
there?
A great author. Like, that's a great. That's amazing. I love that.
Cool.
Who's put that on?
ICANDOACADEMY.com is how you find out about it. ICANDOACADEMY. ICANDOACADEMY.com is where you go to look for your tickets, or you can email them connect@ICANDOACADEMY.com.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very similar to
yeah,
I do. Very similar to, you know, I've been saying to you that I go up with a couple of friends, Deborah and Lisa. We all go go up to the How To Academy up in London. Do you remember I was saying to you they put on so many events a week?
Yeah.
So it's very similar that they're using this academy, this How To, I Can.
Yeah, yeah.
And an event. Wow, they're great, great speakers.
Fantastic. Talking of which, Wednesday, tomorrow, manana, Network Kent have got a networking event also at the Bridgewood Manor. It's all happening at the Bridgewood Manor at the moment. Bridgewood Manor, 10:30 tomorrow, Wednesday, vibrant, informal networking with ample time to seek new opportunities, develop existing relationships and potentially grow your business. Networkkent.co.uk if you want to let them know you're coming. It's tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to this? December the 5th.
It's firework night.
No, that's November.
Oh.
This is December.
Sorry.
December.
Oh, that'll be the Business Diaries.
It is. So this is Hello Vanilla Web, Bird and a Bike, and all the listeners on the Business Bunker. This is from DC Squirrel. We'll be at one of the speakers on December the 5th, the Biz Diaries. Five amazing entrepreneurs, plus Paul. Do you think he's having a go at you there?
No, his name's Paul. He's one of the speakers.
No, I know. Oh, I thought
there.
He was having a go at you then.
No,
but he's brave, man. He's a brave man. Thank you for the shout out, and I hope to see you all there. So this is the Business Diaries. Let me tell you about it. Business Diaries is back on December the 5th. They have five amazing entrepreneurs sharing their stories. There will be mince pies.
Scooped out with cream in.
And it's the month of giving. All ticket sales will be donated to charity. So what's not to like? Come and join them. You need to go onto Eventbrite, look up Business Diaries and get your ticket.
The Business Diaries is fabulous, isn't it? It's one of my favourite events. I've been to all of them. And it's just wonderful. There are five speakers that tell a story around a theme from their life in business that isn't a sales pitch, yeah? And we've heard some amazing stories,
yeah,
haven't we?
Yeah.
We've laughed. We've literally cried.
Yeah.
We've been astounded. Just every range of emotion has come out in stories.
Well, because we all love to hear about business and we all love how to do it or what do I do or... But we do like a story of being human so that we see how that implements. Yeah. What mirrors what? Does business, you know, mirror you or do you mirror the business? It's really interesting concept.
And there's been some amazingly powerful stories from people where you've gone, wow, I really
didn't know.
Wow, yeah. I really didn't know that that's been part of your life.
Yeah.
Some tear-jerking stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of it.
Yeah. I always, but it's like, how do you rise from those bathroom floor moments or those blooded knee moments, you know? What makes you rise? That's what I think Business Diaries really goes into, is you see the whole of somebody.
And talking of that, we're going to start podcasting them.
Are we?
Yeah.
How are we doing that?
They're going to come here and we're going to do podcasts with them.
Excellent.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to start that in the new year.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you know what?
No.
I'm going to play some cheesy tunage.
I don't know which one you're going to go for this week.
Well.
As in which guest you're going to choose.
Well.
I'm going to say it's Joanne.
Nah.
Oh, really?
I'm going to go with Graham. But well, if you get the song, he might be able to make a link.
Tokyo! South America! Australia!
Go on, Dave.
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Dancing in the Street.
It's Dancing in the Street, and we're going to be talking about the High Street when we come back.
Dancing in the street.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. Bit of Bowie there, dancing in the street. We're going to be talking to Graham shortly about high streets and regeneration and all kinds of things. We're going to do a couple more tweets and emails before we do that. What have you got, bud? Caught you there, didn't I?
You did, because yeah. Do you know what I'm doing?
No, I've no idea.
I'm researching the I Can Do Academy.
You're still on that, aren't you?
You're flabbergasted.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Anyway, fully funded innovation coaching. Innovate UK together with the Enterprise Europe. All I can see is you in my line.
Sorry.
That's right.
Am I annoying you?
Well, it's just funny then. I was thinking, what's he up to? He's going to do something weird. What's the problem?
Nothing. I'll just listen to you.
No, you never listen to me.
No, my label's starting to come unpeeled, so I'm peeling it back on.
Fully funded innovation coaching. Innovate UK together with
you. You asked what I was doing, so I told you. Look, my auto-seg label's come off. Look, I stuck it back on now. Go.
Innovate UK together with the Enterprise
Europe. The Innovate what?
Enterprise Europe Network, EEN, have fully funded the Innovate to Succeed programme. It's been developed. What are you doing over there?
I'm smiling
been developed.
At you.
And funded to support companies who want to grow through innovation and or export. We've just started a new three-year programme with funding for about 40 companies this year. Any industry can apply, but you must be an SME that is under 250 staff and have a 250 million turnover. So it has to be under that. We're not under that, are we?
Scraping along.
Exactly. If you're a company that would benefit from tailored support, coaching and connections to unlock your innovation and success, then please call Alison Butler. Get ready for this. It's 01634883615 to register your interest. But don't you worry, you can go on to www.wibblywobblyway, which is gov.uk/government/organisation/innovateuk and get on that information.
Fantastic.
I think that's really fascinating.
It is.
Would you do something like that?
Should we?
We could.
Can I ask you a question? Am I allowed? Am I allowed in here?
Yeah, of course.
Have you had Tudor and the Chamber in talking about scale up?
No, we haven't. We had...
Simon Teague.
We had Simon Teague.
Oh, Simon Teague, yeah.
Simon Teague from New Level Results came in and talked about scale up.
Simon's the man who's doing all the work.
Yeah, exactly. Dragon Co-working Failure Night. Let's put it like that.
Thank the Lord you said that.
Yeah. They got a failure night.
Have you seen who's speaking at some of it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, Peter Allen is speaking, Simon Pollard, Sean Murphy. It's coming, and I don't understand this. 1/1/19. I'm not sure what that is. That's what it says in the tweet. 1/1/19.
No idea. Is that an expiry date or something on their credit card or what?
I don't know. It says it's coming on 1/1/19.
In November 19, 2019?
It could be November.
It's November 19.
It's not written like that, so it's interesting. Maybe it's a bit of intrigue and they want us to do some research. Anyway, they've got bands, beers, cocktails and failure from Molly Moodle and more. So Molly Moodle's there, Molly Wright, Simon Pollard,
Is Molly Sharma doing one?
Yeah, Molly's doing one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, that's good. That oh, can you imagine funny. That? Yeah. Basically, it's a similar to Business Stories in some respects, in that it's five or six business people come and tell you about their biggest failures in life. Yeah. And I went to the very first one, and it was hilarious. It really was funny. It was good fun.
And he always puts on good food.
Yeah, well, it's a Dragon Co-working, so the food and the drinks were fantastic.
Yeah.
Exactly. So get along. I'm not sure when it is, because, well, let me see if I can tell you. Hold on, because there's a link here. Let's see what the link takes us to. It takes us to Eventbrite, F-Up Nights. I'm sorry, but that's what you got to search for. And it is on November the 1st. There you go. November the 1st at 7 p.m. at Dragon Co-working, which is 7 to 8 New Road Avenue, Rochester.
Interesting.
And it's an Eventbrite booking page.
Cool. Are you going to go?
I might well do.
What date is it again?
First.
Oh, is it the 1st of November?
1st of November, yeah.
What's that?
It's the day
that's
after
Friday.
That's day after
Friday.
The 31st of October, normally.
Thank you. Yeah, good to know. Join us for the Kenwood Trust James Bond-themed fireworks spectacular featuring a performance from Marylebone Jelly. It is an event not to be missed. This is this next Thursday, actually, the 7th of November. It is from 4:30 till 8:30. Gates open at 4:30 in the afternoon. But don't you worry, the fireworks don't start until 7:30 and the event finishes at 8. Go on.
If you've got young children, don't get there too early. Yeah, because last year a lot of people turned up. I'm a trustee of Kemba Trust, and last year a lot of people turned up at 4 o'clock because the gates opened at 4 o'clock so they could get parked. But then there is things to do, but for young kiddies hanging around for 3 hours waiting for the fireworks, get a little bit fractious. So there's no need to get there too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go for it.
www.worldwideweb.eventbrite.co.uk and put in their annual fireworks spectacular.
Yeah. Do come along. It's fantastic.
That's at Kenwood Place and it's at Yalding.
Yeah. It's a fantastic venue and it's a gorgeous place to have fireworks and it's all nicely controlled and there's lots of other things going on as well, like little fun fairs and what have you. Do come along and support us. All the money goes to the charity, and Kenwood Trust is a charity that we house and rehabilitate people with drink and drug addiction problems. So do come along. Do you know what? I think it's about time that we talk to our first guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Bunker Show. I know he's been on the Bunker Extra Show, Mr. Graham Galpin. Graham is a former local Ashford councillor and was very heavily involved in regenerating the town of Ashford itself. And you're still involved in some of these high street things. Graham, thank you so much for coming along. Tell us a little bit in your own words about you and what you've been doing.
Yeah, let me start by saying I really like the music that you put on.
Lovely.
You know, because I believe that dancing in the street should be compulsory.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I had the best time I could possibly have in getting the town I love, and indeed Tenterden as well, back on the map, and being part of some of those big projects. But I had to move on in May, and I'm now, before that, I had been invited by the High Streets Minister, Jake Berry, to be part of his expert panel, which looked at how do we fix the high streets?
Right.
You know, they're falling apart. What have we got to do? The interesting thing is when we turned up, we were told, you can't, let me just tell you, sorry about that. I keep hearing myself in my ears. And I spoke myself
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't have any money to do it with. And you can't touch the taxation. So we went away and we visited a number of successful towns, and it was really interesting. But we, in the end, we put our foot down and said we can't do it for nothing. We need some money, and we asked for 200 million, and they gave us 675 million, and they've just topped that up to a billion.
Right.
That's for the Future High Street Fund. But overall, and this isn't a party political broadcast, there's 3.6 billion going into town centre. So they are being taken seriously.
Well, I mean, for me, there's a lot of input into this from different angles.
Yep.
the thing that drives me nuts are people that want online people to pay for the failure of the high street, because I just think that's crazy. But for me, it's that one of the things about the when we talk about the high street is that doesn't actually mean very much anyway. If you mean town centres, call it town centres, yeah? Because the high street, everybody then starts talking about retailers, yeah? And for me, that's just an evolutionary process, yeah? If you go back 100 years to the average high street, you'd have had a stables, a coaching inn, yeah? A sale maker or whatever, depending on where you were. And none of those things exist anymore because things have moved on. So in terms of retailers moved on. And there's two conflicting forces with retail, which is online and out of centre shopping malls. Yeah. And they're just, both of them are more convenient for customers. That's the whole deal. I've got a high street based business in Canterbury, and the problem with Canterbury is you can't park anywhere. You know, there's two car parks in the entire living city, and it costs me 14 quid a day to park to go to work, which is ridiculous. There are those kind of issues, but I think that what you've been involved in is much greater than just looking at retail.
It is absolutely one of the things that we concluded with as we did our research, and it was chaired by Sir John Timpson, our group, who is the Timpson's keys and shoes we were quite adamant that there is probably between 20% and 40% too much retail space going on at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it was interesting hearing what you were saying there, is you highlighted just about everything that's impacting on the high street at the moment. Mm. You need to have that input to change what the offer is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and you're not going to get Woolies back.
No,
you're not going to get BHS back. There is one large national store line, at least one, that is not yet in receivership, that I think will be in receivership very soon.
Yep.
It's changing.
It's just the model's changed. And you can't unwind it. You can't uninvent things. You can't uninvent nuclear power.
What do people want from the high street? Yeah.
People will tell you something different to what they actually want. People will tell you, we want our butcher, our baker and our candlestick maker, and then they'll go to Sainsbury's or Waitrose
and do their shopping.
So they want speed, don't they? They want fast, speed, efficient.
What I expect to see from a town centre is I expect to see it clean, I expect to see it safe, I expect there to be more than retail. So there's entertainment, there's coffee bars, there's room for performance if you're going to have performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've worked that through to some degree in Ashford. Yeah. And I think that Ashford has done very well. I've always said to people about Ashford is when I began with it, I said to people, we can't get there from here.
Yeah.
We have to carry people along and help them because they're frightened.
It's really interesting, isn't it? I think there's also a possible double level here. I agree 100% with Graham about mixed use of the high street. I want to try and move away from the term high street.
It's a town centre.
It's a town centre. It's not a high street. It's a town centre, and the businesses that are clustered around that and what you do. And the new paradigm of town centres is mixed leisure, housing, entertainment and stuff like that. And you could also look at it at two levels. You've got daytime and the nighttime environment, yeah, which are slightly different. And if you look at it, a lot of things are moving on. But for me, and I want Graham's view on this, having been heavily involved in this, both as a local councillor and in town centre regeneration, one of the things that you hear a lot, and one of the things I suffered with my business in Canterbury, was really dumb planning laws. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, they wouldn't allow me to change the use of something. And the reason they wouldn't allow me to change the use is it was already in their plan as something else. Yeah, but it's not going to be used as that thing. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that when we sat down with Jake Berry, the minister, he was very open to was the fact that we got some arcane definitions of, you know, A1, A2, A3.
Yep.
He has moved towards permitted development rights, yeah, so that you can change use from some things to others. It's not universal, it's not ubiquitous, but the pressure is on planning authorities to be more aware of what can be done. Mm. I'm a fellow of the Institute of Place Management up in Manchester University, and they are leading on the High Street Task Force,
right?
And I take your point about the designation of high streets and not town centres, and I think just about everybody involved agrees with that. But he was the High Street Minister, so it had to come with High Street.
Yeah,
the Institute are leading, as I say, on the High Street Task Force, and they've got a Yeah, we have, because I'm involved with that as well. Mm. We have a manifesto, basically, that talks about providing support to developing town centres. And this was something I fought long and hard for, was that during the times when there was less money in local authorities, people got rid of the staff who were not in the statutory services.
Yep.
And so, therefore, you kept your planners and you kept your various public health people. Mm. But economic development rather went to the wall. Mm. And that we've seen that in Kent, haven't we?
With absolutely.
I went and spoke with the local government association's members and I said, do you think you got enough support? And they said, no. Mm. So this was where the task force came into being. Mm. And it is going to go out there and it's going to hold the hand of town centres that want to develop. Now, initially, it's going to be the people who've got some money out of this future High Street Fund, this $650 million that's gone up to $1 billion now.
Right.
But we're going to be available. There's going to be stuff available for all sorts of towns, whether it's Tenterden, which doesn't have the reservoir of information because you don't have the footfall counters.
Sure.
Footfall is God, by the way. Mm. You know, you look and say, well, how many people are you getting through your town centre? Because what commercial products you have in your town centre really is dependent upon how many people pass through.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, you knowing in Canterbury that you get a very good footfall because you've got the tourism.
Well, in Canterbury, you've got four universities, and it's a centre of the church, Protestant Church for the World, and it's also a tourist site because of its ancient history. So footfall in Canterbury is amazing. Yeah.
But that wouldn't be a normal example of the high street, would it?
An interesting point. You know, my chums up in Manchester, they've got four graphs. They did what's called a K-mean, you'll love this, a K-mean scatter graph. So
I've always wanted one of those.
Yeah. But you can get them, and you can get them in B&M, I think.
Right.
What it did was it looked at all the things that made town centres work,
right,
and in addition, they looked at what type of town centres they were, and the town centres broke down into four fundamentally. There are the tourist destinations. There's the comparison towns. Now, Canterbury is a bit of both, really.
Yeah.
Ashford is a multi-purpose town. Yeah, and then you've got resort towns.
Yeah.
You get a different retail buzz.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, you don't get as much of an upkick at Christmas as you think. You would think that Christmas would be an enormously big selling point, but it isn't. It's quite smooth in...
Yeah, well, people, you know, like me, I'd do Christmas on Amazon.
Well, I was just going to say, Graham, how is technology, how is evolution showing you the high street now? How are you battling against what is coming and what is already here?
There is no question of us battling against anything because it would be a battle that you lost.
Yeah.
You have to look at repurposing.
Yeah.
Repurposing, reinventing, repositioning, and rebranding. Those are the four R's.
One of the problems that I hear from my colleagues in small businesses in towns, I have offices in, funnily enough, I have high street offices in Maidstone and Canterbury, which is one of those things. And one of the things you complainingly hear is, of course, the rents in town centres are very high.
Yeah.
And that's because landlords are hanging on to property that they invested in with the thought that they would get these big returns. Mm. Yeah. So retail property is very expensive to rent as opposed to office stuff further back. One of the problems is a lot of the space in town centres now needs to be repurposed as offices. Yeah. But the rents are too high in order to do that. One of the ways out of that is, so in Canterbury, for instance, I own Fruit Works, which is a community workspace. We occupy what is a Victorian warehouse that was a supermarket. Okay. And we operate that. The benefit of operating that is we have 120 businesses in there who use the high street coffee shops, bistros, restaurants, nail bars, hairdressers, and all the other things that still exist. A friend of mine owned a large shopfront in Battersea.
Yeah.
And he had it on the market as a retail shop for ages and ages and ages and ages. And eventually I said to him, do you know, you're never going to shift that. Why don't you turn it into a community workspace, which is exactly what he did. He filled it up within 3 weeks. He's got, you know, 60 or 70 businesses there. And, you know, that aids to the regeneration. So it's very much about repurposing. One of the things we got to do with repurposing is revisit the rental structure, because that's one of the things that holds it back.
I think you're right that rental is fundamental part of the bottom line of the balance sheet.
Yeah.
What's your portfolio worth?
Yeah.
Well, it ain't worth what
it was.
What it was. But people won't recognise that because they would have to downgrade their benefit to their shareholders.
Yeah.
Interestingly, and this is another conundrum, is the business with business rates. Now, you touched upon it with the levies on the online businesses, this 2 or 3% levy. I attended a dinner, a thinking dinner up in London a couple of months ago with FSB and myself and a colleague and the chief exec of Tesco's, and Tesco's was very pro a levy, and they produced a report which I didn't much like, I have to say. I have so many reservations about the levy business. It doesn't change what's happening in the high street, because that's a dynamic and you've got to deal with that. It takes away from whoever has the money in the people who receive business rates, who get a share of it, a significant share of it, are your council. That means you.
Yeah.
You get a share of that. Mm. So if we start knocking it off, then you're going to notice that, because if you're going to reduce it because we're getting money in from Amazon, then that money goes centrally and it gets distributed by the government. Now, I love the government of whatever colour they are. I think they're all cuddly bunnies, but they're not very good at spreading the money about in an even and reasonable way.
It's not sensibly done, is it? Because they can't, because it's done top down. I mean, my problem with it is personal. Yeah, I run an online business from a high street location.
Yeah.
So I get done three times. Yeah, because I already pay business rates on a high street location. I paid a ridiculous business improvement district levy as well, and we won't even get into that.
I can do it.
I would go there. It's not my favourite thing. And then if they levy me for being an internet business, I'm paying three lots of rates. Yeah. do I think I'm going to hang around for long like that? No, I'm not. So it, you've got to be careful how you do this. Mm. Yeah. It's, for me, it's a knee jerk reaction. And then too many people who don't understand. Very few people in this country understand taxation at any level, which is why you get people putting out stupid stuff like they did last week about, whoever it was they picked on last week and said, oh, they made X amount at sales and they only paid X amount of tax. Well, you don't pay corporation tax on sales. You pay it on profits. And what they don't understand with that is it's the declared profits of a business, especially an international business, aren't always in this country. And in fact, if you look at the normal bogeymen in this, people like Amazon, in fact, what they're doing is their office is in Dublin and they're using the offshore tax advantages of the EU's transfer pricing. Yeah. So, you know, you get all these people go, they haven't paid enough tax. Well, that's because they're paying the tax in Dublin or Luxembourg and not in London, where it's 12% rather than 20%.
But every person that they employ in the United Kingdom pays tax.
Yeah. And they pay,
National insurance.
National insurance for it. And so, VAT. Yeah.
So there is a tax take for us as a benefit. I'm not going to absolve them because they have changed the balance.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm going to be a bit controversial, I think their clicks and bricks stuff in where they've put two or three stores in town.
Yeah.
I think that that's a synthetic thing just to avoid any levy that comes forward.
I think you're right. Yeah.
So I'm not. I mean, I could be completely wrong, and my friend Jo Wincart has been working with them on that, so I'm not going to... she'll ring me tonight and tell me I'm wrong.
It's interesting, though. You know, I'm more with you on this. I want to focus more on regeneration and what we use the town centres for and what kind of businesses can come along, what we can do. There is a problem with property in at all kinds of level. We have asset bubbles on property in this country, for all kinds of reasons. You've only got to look at my colleagues in WeWork, the workspace company. Yeah. That have effectively gone bust is effectively what they've done.
Spitalfields and things like that. Yeah.
You know, they invested in all these huge properties, with the proviso of renting them out cheaply to small, startup businesses. And I could have told them the money they were paying for London centre sites, they'd never make their money back. Now, they've got a property portfolio. But again, the thing that worked in that marketplace is if you own the freehold. If you're on a leasehold, you're dead in the water. And that's where they've got to with it because, you know, the asset is too overpriced. And that's a separate issue. What you do about that, I think, has got to come out of central government tax planning in terms of properties. I don't want to get into this, but one of the long-term solutions that was always touted for this kind of thing was what they called a land value tax. And a land value tax makes a huge amount of sense. But then you've got to reevaluate every other kind of tax in order to do it. And most people don't want to do it.
It's quite a complex thing to do. Yeah. And when you're in the middle of something called Brexit, there's not a lot of resources.
That's not bad, Graham. It is 53 minutes into the show, and that's the first time.
The B word.
And that makes me very conscious of the fact that you're going to wind me up in a minute. No. I mean, you're going to stop me.
No, we really aren't. We're so honest on here, aren't we?
I mean, you're going to say it's coming to the end of your session, Graham. I just want to pick up.
You're out.
Well, good point.
But I do want to pick up that regeneration is more than just looking at filling up the old Marks and Spencer store.
Yeah, sure.
If you just pick up two or three things in Ashford, we put the cinema there.
Yeah.
And the cinema is working. And I don't care who says otherwise, that is working. It's going to win an award this year.
Is this the new cinema?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it? This is one of the things that astounds me. And I do wish that people would think about this kind of thing more. There was a period when cinemas closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody said, the cinema's dead. You know, you got video, you got video recorders. And then, you know, who would ever have gone tell you what, you've got Amazon Prime and Netflix, but cinemas have made a massive comeback. But the reason that cinemas have made a massive comeback is because of technology. You can have digital cinemas. Yeah. The technology has improved beyond any show.
It's an experience.
And you're now selling it in a different way.
That's a key word, is experience. Yeah. When you come into a town, the most miserable thing is to see everybody walking around with their, you know, with their head in their chest. Yeah. They want to be revitalised. They want to feel really great when they come into your town.
Yeah.
And something like our stunning cinema or the Curious Brewery or the college, all of these things say a different story about Ashford. All the new residential developments on Victoria Way, for example, and the new hotel. I'm just really, really excited. I do miss it. I'm going to own up. I do miss it, but not that much. I do miss it. It is an exemplar of what you can do on the physical regeneration. But it's also about bringing people with you.
Absolutely,
because people are the community, and they really want to come to somewhere where they can meet their mates and have a chat and, you know, have a cup of tea. And
I'm always intrigued, Graham, and this is a bit of a poke in the bear thing, though, but with these things, who decides what happens? Is it the person who's in at that moment and their personal belief? And this you could use in Brexit as well. Or is it the community that you are guided by? Honestly, what happens? Because with Brexit, we've made one thing and something's missing.
Before Graham answers that, there's something that always kind of bothers me a little bit, is obviously what you'd want to do is ask residents. The trouble is most of them haven't got a clue what they're talking about.
Yes, and that's what I was and that's the thing, isn't it?
That's a really, really good point from both of you. So I knew there'd be one today.
Right, get him off.
Right, switch him off.
It really, really, really is a good point, because you, as I said earlier on, When I got involved, you couldn't get there from here. People had lost faith in Ashford and Ashford's ability, and the council.
Yeah.
I worked hard to try and build that faith back up.
Right.
I wasn't always successful, I know that. But I think that people are prouder to be in Ashford than any time I've ever known it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And that's what people should be doing, and they are doing now. I also work with one of the biggest companies or biggest organisations that deals with social enterprises on town centres, and they are very much at the ground level talking to communities.
Yeah.
And you need that dialogue. You need the council and the people.
Yeah, you do. But sometimes you need vision as well.
Oh, absolutely, and leadership.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, you can ask people what they want, and they go, oh, I want a new bus stop, or I want this, or I want that, and they go, yeah, great. They don't always see the potentiality of doing something different, You know, because I'm sure if you just said, do we need another cinema in Ashford, we'd go, no, we've got one, But that new cinema has worked, and it hasn't diminished the one that was there already. So it's just interesting from that point of view. We could talk about this forever, but we are actually approaching the end of the first segment of the show. Graham, thank you so much for that. I just want to go over very quickly, because we haven't got much time, just some of the things that have arrived in Ashford during your time over the last few years doing this. You know, like we've got, I think a lot of this started with the high speed rail as well.
That was the catalyst, but it's like any catalyst. You've got to grab it. You've got to pick up the ball and run with it, because we're talking rugby at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's what really hadn't quite happened, and that was all sorts of reasons for that. But we had the benefit of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Maidstone didn't, because they turned it down.
Well, awful them.
Yeah, exactly. Graham, thank you so much for that.
Yeah,
if people want to find out more about the work that you're doing and town centres and all the rest of it, what's the best way of following you?
Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Graham_Galpin. If you are a small business and you want to get involved, you could go to hashtag IndieHour,
right.
I-N-D-I-E hour, tomorrow. No, tonight. If you go there to look there tonight at 8 o'clock, there's a colleagues have an exchange of views across the country.
So get involved in the conversation across the country. Indie Hour, hashtag Indie Hour. Follow Graham, Graham_Galpin, G-A-L-P-I-N on the Twitter. Graham, thank you so much. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom now. When we come back, we're going to talk to Graham some more and our second guest, Joanna.
Right.
Cool.
On the Hour.